Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Oh, good evening. This is Bill Rayner back with you again after another trip last month to visit my son and his family in the United States. We had a bit of a mix-up with our programming last month while I was away, and my July words of wisdom were missing in action. I apologise for that. I'm sure you're all very acutely disappointed. Today's program will be wordier than usual, not to make up for last month's loss, but for two very different issues that have arisen, which have just popped up, that I feel need to be aired in this very political time. On a lighter note, my American visit was rather different than usual. The first week of my trip was in Oregon, where I had been invited to a family gathering of Earl Merman, who I stayed with as an AFS exchange student in 1959 for his 50th wedding anniversary. He and his wife Rena were outdoor enthusiasts, Rena's father having worked all his life for the U.S. National Park Service, and they booked a week at a mountain lodge at a place called Black Butte. I googled the lodge. It was the middle of nowhere in a national forest reserve with snowy peaks and seemed to be a cool, rugged place. So I togged up with heavy hiking boots, thick trousers, woolly socks and beanie with a plus a padded jacket ready for the assault on Everest. I must admit at some considerable cost, not being an outdoors type myself. I duly arrived in Oregon to find it was in the middle of a record heat wave with temperatures in the mid-30s. This led to a rapid visit to a Target store to get t-shirt, shorts and a sun hat. Sorry, I'm not quite up to speed back in New Zealand. The resort had a big sign in the front office saying beware of the bears and cougars, which I think was just to create some atmosphere, as it had two golf courses, three swimming pools and a network of seal paths and bike riding tracks. It was a lovely week catching up with family and very old friends from 60 years ago, which included a young manic classical concert pianist with his own portable keyboard. A very talented young man, but a little out of context. From the mountains of Oregon to the flat landscape of Cincinnati, where my family lived, was a real contrast, the one common factor being a very high summer heat. Once again, we should give daily thanks to live in New Zealand. At times, the heat level was noted by the local council as dangerous, with warnings for seniors and children not to go outside. Overheated in the summer, freezing in the winter would drive Kiwis nuts. However, God's greatest gift must be grandchildren, granddaughters in particular, especially the little ones who climb onto your lap and cuddle up, snuggle up on the couch to read a story and give you hugs just because they just want to. Not worried about your grey hair, wrinkly old skin, or less an elegant figure, just unconditional affection and love. I was there for July 4th, their big day, and braved the summer heat for a town parade. The streets were packed, lots of red, white and blue and US flags. The Americans are very patriotic and love their flag and love their military. But the parade had an interesting marketing feature. All of the people and floats threw out candy like an hour-long lolly scramble. Every kid had a plastic supermarket bag that they filled rapidly. As my son said, the kids call it the candy parade. A very interesting show nonetheless. On to heavier things. But before that, fond memories from 60 years ago. A music break with Scott McKenzie, San Francisco.
Thank you.
Flowers in your hair. I was there at the start of all that. The Beatnik Days, a story for another time. Kingston Trio at the Purple Onion, it really brings back memories. And now the serious stuff. Grey Power on the Shore has been involved for some time with the plight of older people caught up in the leaky homes problem, in particular with a block of apartments in Browns Bay called The Palms. Many people think the problem is gone, but that is not the case. The compensation offered in the first stage was only for 50% of the cost and is now time expired for most people. The secondary problem is that the repair costs have escalated, new quality problems have arisen and shoddy construction is continuing on at a high rate. One of the key problems is as the premises are inspected, they find out that some of the fireproofing, etc., isn't up to standard. Everyone involved is faced with high repair bills, many just cannot afford it, and older people just cannot get bank mortgage finance with disastrous outcomes for many. Grey Power has put forward a concept of financial help for seniors in the form of a reverse mortgage type loan at low interest rates, which so far hasn't been successful. Fortunately, something of a white knight has taken up the issue. Mr. Paul Lahore, Managing Director of Lahore's Real Estate in Birkenhead, a long time and highly regarded member of the Shore Property Development and Marketing community. He's just had a remarkable article in the Herald a couple of weeks ago on the continuing leaky homes issue. It was headed, "The Leaky Unit Owners Left to Face Ruin," and it was really quite dramatic and quite sad. The lead part reads, "There is a silent epidemic spreading through our city. Its victims are ordinary people. In our body corporate work, my colleagues and I have first-hand experience of the suffering, hardship and extreme stress experienced by many owners of units in the multi-title properties that are leaking. They are rotting and need recladding to meet stringent new local body requirements and updated building code. Many apartment owners are finding it impossible to fund the repairs of these compulsory building reclads, particularly if they're single or pensioners and not earning an income. I'm talking about people in agony. These are very good people who are being forced to the wall and no one gives a stuff. I've talked to many of these owners. I've seen the absolute hopelessness in their eyes. They're so bewildered. After nights of no sleep, they essentially give up. No one is helping these people." He goes on to say that he believes about 30% of the apartment buildings on the North Shore have leak issues right now. Also that 50% of these multi-unit owners cannot raise the money for their share of repairs and are being forced into mortgagee sales from which they'll get a very low price from a property speculator. He says that the causes of leaky homes include poor design, inadequate building cladding systems and often sloppy workmanship. But the main cause was the government's approval of the use of untreated kiln-dried framing timber in the mid-90s. Paul states that the government must therefore take responsibility for fixing the problem and propose the establishment of a bond facility to fund the repair costs so that the cash-strapped owners of leaky home units do not risk losing their homes. The owners would service the interest costs. The loan would be repaid when the unit was sold. Many, including the majority of the owners of these apartments, would be seniors. As mentioned, Grey Power's had first-hand experience of the situation, being involved with members having apartments in the Palms and Browns Bay. Grey Power has flowed a similar concept of having low-interest rate loans, similar to the student loans for students. Housing is a major election issue, with major concerns for affordable housing for first homeowners, the homeless, new immigrants, for teachers and other key workers who can't afford to live in Auckland. No mention of the particular difficulties the seniors face in this terrible housing situation. This has to change. Paul Lahore's article is something of a catalyst, and an expert analyst is a base for action. Grey Power gratefully acknowledges the prominence that Paul Lahore, leader in the real estate sector, has given the issue. Grey Power put the need for sympathetic financial assistance to leaky homeowners onto the political agenda for the election and to council to get some positive urgent action, and I urge you all to take this up with your local MPs and the candidates in the election campaigns. It's a sad, desperate situation has to be fixed. And now Maria Dallas with a topical song, Tumbling Down.
Got a troubled mind and I'm feeling sad. I lost the only love that I ever had. Since he's gone and left this town, my love keeps tumbling down. Oh yes, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. Tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. My love came tumbling down. He's alone and not so lonely. I've lost my love, my one and only. Like autumn leaves falling on the ground, my love keeps tumbling down. Oh yes, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. Tumbling, I'm tumbling, I'm tumbling down. My love keeps tumbling down.
Now the second issue, less desperate but important both for our generation and for our grandchildren. The disappearance of our heritage buildings in Auckland and the lack of understanding to what the preservation of heritage buildings is all about. We had a situation in Devonport with the old Masonic Hotel, which was built in 1866, where Devonport Heritage took it to the Environment Court to stop it being demolished and basically lost the case. And the developers who took over the building turned it into a series of apartment blocks, which has just now been finished. And the building looks lovely. It's bright and new and sparkling. And rising from that was a flood of criticism from the residents of Devonport towards the Devonport Heritage people who'd fought to keep the place, the historic hotel there in the first place. And it was very disappointing to read these letters, critical of Devonport Heritage Advocates. That was Trish Deans and Marco McRae over the Masonic conversion to apartments, particularly from the Devonport old-timers and fierce supporters like Dennis Oldman. The campaign to save the Masonic was not just about an old Victorian building. It was not about bricks and mortar and tarting up a pretty old pub. It was about preserving an intrinsic part of Devonport community life, now vibrant social character and history. The Devonport we know and love and live in today, with its special unique community characters and ambience, with its social history, heritage buildings, established community facilities, open waterfront environment and low-scale development, which are key ingredients, did not just happen. It was a tireless commitment and effort by the Devonport Heritage Group, led by Trish and Margo, following on from Trish Yock and the other founders of Devonport Heritage in the 1990s, that established the core special heritage zoning area for Devonport, helped save the Victoria Theatre, the heritage features of the Fort Takapina Reserve in North Head, put in thousands of collectors' hours to Auckland Plan and the Energy Plan to preserve Devonport's special character, as well as being a core part of the Save the Masonic campaign. I'm talking about Devonport, but the same situation applies across Auckland. The Character Coalition with Sally Hughes across in St Heliers, we're all facing the same sort of problems in the heritage sector. Devonport, the sort of the Sonic campaign followed on from the precedent set by the community action of the 1960s, which rolled the council of day, saved Nardarringa Bay from being filled in and developed into a Gold Coast-style major residential area, complete with canals, and went on to stop the proliferation of brick and tile sausage flats that were a dominant development at that time, replacing the old villas. Mike Pritchard, who is still with us, then a lecturer at Auckland University and one of the leaders, and his friends, young artists Don Binney and Pat Hanley, produced screen prints to support the Nardarringa Bay action. Mike is now the guardian of the Tamaki Reserve Preservation Trust Group, initiated by Mike Reynolds, Sam Denny, Simon Williams and Rao Ranouf, who successfully fought the Shipley National Government through the courts in 1996 to stop the sale of the Fort Takapuna Reserve land at Narrow Neck. It was then the Fort Courtly Army Camp. It was to be sold for high-value residential housing. Ironically, it was the first land grab attempt by the Honourable Nick Smith, now snapping up other reserve land in Auckland for affordable housing. As mentioned, the campaign to save the Masonic was not just about an old Victorian building. It was about our community heart and soul. The Masonic was a throbbing pulse of the community for almost 150 years. Built in 1876, it was the North Shore's first commercial building and one of the oldest continually licensed premises in the country, operating as a pub from its inception to its demise 3 or 4 years ago. Apart from being the social centre and watering hole and starting point for travellers heading north from Auckland, it was a centre of community gathering and decision-making in the early days of the borough. Devonport Sports Clubs were among the oldest in the country, the North Shore Rugby Club being founded in 1873, with cricket and football not far behind, and Rugby League was established there in 1908 at the start of the Rugby League movement in Australia and New Zealand. All came out of a dialogue of the Masonic. Devonport had a very lively, literary and artistic scene, no doubt enjoying the hospitality at the hotel. Janet Frame worked at the Masonic when being mentored by Frank Sargison. It was the pub for the military forces at Narrow Neck in World War I and again in World War II, with the major army clientele outside the wartime periods, with the Splade having a navy splash. The American 3rd Marine Division had a major presence in Devonport during that with the war as well. They were also tended to be based at the Masonic Hotel. Post-war, during the 6 o'clock closing days and onward, it was the home of the old returned servicemen and the lively, zany Devonport characters Terry Sheehan, Simon Gundry et al., the home of the Duders Beach Surf Life-Saving Club, which was ironic because there's no surf at all, and the rugby club crew, an element that continued to the very end. With the closing of the Glue Pot in Ponsonby, the Masonic was a major incubator of many of the young musicians and bands, and an inordinate number coming out of Takapuna Grammar. This was another major cultural loss on the closing of the old pub. Heritage isn't about preserving old buildings. It is about keeping alive the cultural background and stories of our community and forefathers, of which the physical artifacts are the cornerstones and reference points. This provides connection and a sense of place, a comfortable continuum that gives confidence, encouragement and inspiration to the young people coming through. It's about telling the stories, like Rod Keneally's, the Devonport Museum and the Flagstaff have done over many years, so there's a community awareness of our vibrant past and a shared belonging. Many of our newer residents come from Britain and Europe, where heritage is part of everyday living, going back 1,000 years in many places. It is taken for granted, and the history and stories are well known and intuitive, part of the normal cultural fabric. And everyone familiar with the UK appreciates the social and community value of the local pub. I am a member of the Wynyard family who came to Auckland in 1845 and settled in Devonport in the 1850s. I lived in England for over a year and was married in the Hampstead Parish Church, St John's in Hampstead. A church whose original grant was given in 988, with the first recorded church being noted in 1312, the current church being built in 1742. The post-wedding reception was held in the Spaniards Inn, said to date back to 1585, with Dick Turpin the highwayman being a regular. To Londoners, these aren't heritage buildings. They're vital, lively, neutral parts of their community and social life, just happened to be old, with laughter, living and social connection going on as usual as has for a very long time and will continue for a long time into the future. The Las Vegas Strip has the Venetian Heritage Resort Hotel, which has a Sistine Chapel copy where you could be married. and a replica of Venetian restaurant for reception, complete with gondolas. However, being married in this fake Italy environment wouldn't be the same as being in the Hampstead Parish Church in the Spaniards Inn, where the shadows and the footsteps of the culture and the people of the past are right around you. The Masonic could have been a Spaniards Inn, a lively social community amenity, in the same way as the Esplanade and the Patriot are in Victoria Road. The owners were focused on the development option and let the old pub quietly fade away with minimal effort to maintain the building, which had good bones, or keep what could have been a very good hospitality and social venue for a long time to come, enjoyed by our grandchildren. It is not to be. It is now a sterile apartment block, no longer part of the community. Just a pretty building, its soul is gone. The special character of Devonport is under serious threat from council heritage preservation inertia and the lack of understanding and the excessive development options and poor urban design features of the unitary plan. We should all be praising and supporting Trish Deans and Margaret McRae and the Devonport Heritage Group in fighting to preserve our Devonport community's lifestyle and environment. The pressures are growing. Our newer residents, in particular from cultural environments hundreds of years old, need to realise that what we have in Devonport is not on a stable base like their own old homelands, and need to step up and help preserve what we have before more is lost and is too late. A sterile Las Vegas approach of plastic replicas with no spiritual heart is not an option for Devonport. I've been talking about Devonport, but as I mentioned, the whole of Auckland is under the same sort of threat. The development pressures from the increasing population and the increased focus on tourism and business development in Auckland is putting many of our older buildings under serious threat of demolition and removal. Just recently, the St James Theatre, which is a sort of a top-level council priority for restoration, has been put on hold as the developers there felt that it wasn't appropriate to build the supporting apartment blocks at the same time. So right across the board, it's absolutely critical that the senior communities in particular, and particularly those that have come from other countries, could step up and put it to the council. We had an interesting situation once again in Devonport, which, of course, I tend to speak about Devonport, but talking about many other areas. But Devonport's one of the oldest areas in New Zealand, founded in 1841, just after the Treaty of Waitangi, when Captain Hobson brought the capital of New Zealand to Auckland. It's systematic, I suppose, in a sense, or a symbol of what could be already with some of the ravages of the new council, the Auckland Transport have changed all the lighting stands. The Marine Square has got a Scandinavian look rather than a sort of a Victorian look. The new library, which is a lovely building, a monument to the Athfield architects, is more suitable probably in Tiranangi than it is in Devonport. So it's a constant pressure. It's a death by a thousand knives. It's absolutely critical that the community are aware that these things are happening. Well, that's it for today. In my May President's report to the North Shore Grey Power, I led with the comment that these are interesting times. 3 months on from the election looming, I can only say we moved from interesting to bizarre. Now I'm just speechless. Not the time or place to be political, but it almost makes one wish for the simplicity, accountability and stability of the old first past the post system we had before 1996. There's a clear need for another full and effective review of the current MMP system. I would just say, getting back to the issue about the problem with the leaky homes and appropriate financing for the senior community, to take this up with your politicians, particularly if you're going along to the candidates' meetings, just make sure you get up and ask, is the government or the other parties prepared to put a financing scheme in place for the people who are suffering from this terrible leaky home situation? It might not affect you, but it affects a lot of people in our age range. And even for younger people, it's your grandmothers and your uncles and aunties that are in this terrible situation. So I think we'll wind up there with a message for our politicians from Billy T. James, singing Let's Make the World a Better Place, a very timely thought. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
If we could only start each day with having peace of mind, that all the love and happiness would not be hard to find. And sometimes when there's doubts and fears, we try to put aside these thoughts. Just like a surging tide, let's make this world a better place before it gets too late. Let's make this world a better place. Our need for peace is great. Let's make this world a better place to help our fellow man, and make this world a better place. Ooh. Can't escape the ways of life, no matter what. Some kind of strife with so much pain and grief. There's lots more room for tolerance instead of so much hate. God gives the chance to everyone a joy we can.
With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.